Bibles to the book of Judges, if you have your Bibles. Judges. I want to preach a message mostly to the saved, but it surely can be applied to those that don't know Christ as their Savior. The title of my message is The Results of Continued Sin. Again, not just the results of sin, but the results of continued sin. Again, our text is found in Judges 16, verse 21. But the Philistines took him, put out his eyes, and brought him down to Gaza, and bound him with fetters of brass, and he did grind in the prison house. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, I pray first of all for our pastor and his family. They didn't want to take this trip, and they take it as they think they should, and then they get sick. I pray that you'll lift them up and help them physically to get healed real quick, get back in the saddle, Lord. And I pray now as we meet, we thank you for every person that's here. And I just pray you'll give me freedom as I preach, and then fill this message with your Holy Spirit's power, Lord. Speak to hearts. And I pray that real decisions would be made. In your name we pray. Amen. The name Samson, of course, we're preaching on Samson. To me, it means strength and adventure. He was probably the greatest fighter in the history of the world. I don't know who is the heavyweight champion of the world, but I'll just say whoever it is, if they got in the ring with Samson, Samson would mop the ring with him. I mean, he was just the strongest man that ever was. He lived in a day when the Philistines were Israel's bitter enemy, and the people of God needed a leader. And at that time, we have a president, there were kings. At that time, the leader of Israel was a judge. And God appointed him judge or leader of all Israel. One day, the Philistine leader said to the leaders of Israel, "Unless you give us Samson, turn him over to us, we're going to burn your cities, we're going to destroy your crops, and kill and plunder everybody." And so the Israeli leaders came to Samson and asked if he'd let them turn him over to him. And I don't read it in the Bible, but I see Samson get a little smirk on his face and just say, "Yes, I think I'd enjoy that. You guys just stay out of the way." So they bound Samson and led him to the Philistines. And they walked along, and suddenly Samson just broke the ties, and he picked up the jawbone of a donkey and killed 1,000 of the Philistines. I mean, he was one powerful fighter. One man with a bone, he kills 1,000. I don't know how many there were there, but he killed 1,000 of them. Another time, he went down to the city of Gaza, and his enemies were waiting at the gate, watching for him to leave. Now, again, this was no picket fence. Archaeology tells us that the wall there of Gaza was 20 feet thick. And so on the way out, he just picked the gate up and walked out with it. Now, you can see these guys. They've been talking big, "Boy, we're going to get them." And he picked this thing up, probably thousands of pounds, walked out with it. And I'm sure they just ran. I mean, they were going to make a fool out of him, but they just ran. Now, no one had to open the gate. He just took it. And those Philistines just looked there bug-eyed. Started to make excuses to be excused from the festivities. Another time, Samson caught 300 foxes. Again, the Bible doesn't say if he trapped them or ran them down or what, but he set their tails on fire, ran them through the wheat and barley fields, and burned them down. We can read all these tremendous stories about Samson, but the one the world knows about, everybody knows about, is when Delilah made a fool out of him. Samson and Delilah. She was a woman from the Valley of Zorak. And as I read the story of Samson and Delilah, I can't understand how stupid he could be. That's one of my favorite words. Stupid. And that's what Samson was. He was surely seduced by her. She kept asking him, and again, you have to be pretty dumb, kept on asking why he was so strong, and he kept on getting closer and closer to the truth. And every time when she thought that she had him, she'd sig the Philistines on him, and he'd run them off. But he was so foolish, so blinded by sin, that he continued their relationship. And we read the longer passage here, starting in Judges 16:16. And it came to pass, when she pressed him daily with her words, and urged him so that his soul was vexed unto death, that he told her all his heart, and said unto her, there hath not come a razor upon my head, for I have been a Nazarite unto God from my mother's womb. If I be shaven, then my strength will go from me, and I shall become weak and like any other man. And when Delilah saw that he had told her all his heart, she sent and called for the lords of the Philistines, saying, come up this once, for he has showed me all his heart. Then the lords of the Philistines came up unto her and brought money in their hand. And she made him sleep upon her knees. And she called for a man, and she caused him to shave off the 7 locks of his head. And she began to afflict him, and his strength went from him. And she said, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he awoke out of his sleep. And he said, I'll go out as at other times before and shake myself. And he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. But the Philistines took him, put out his eyes, brought him down to Gaza, and bound him with fetters of brass, and he did grind in the prison house. Some of the saddest words in all the Bible are right here, I believe. And he wist not that the Lord had departed from him. And I think that has happened to many, many Christians. They think they can get by with sin. I just want to get one point across. They think they can get by with it. I've got by with it in the past. They think they can get by with it. Let me tell you, you can't. You never do. He'd played with sin one too many times, and they put out his eyes. Can you imagine that hot iron touching his eye sockets? And the Bible says they bound him with fetters of brass. Try and picture him just in pain, and he ground in the prison house. Samson, the leader, became Samson a clown, just a freak in a sideshow. Read the entire passage. They just had fun making a fool out of him. Samson, the strong, became Samson the weakling, and Samson, the judge, became a joke because he had played with sin one too many times. And it's there to warn us. They put out his eyes, but he was blinded by sin before, and sin does blind you. He was blind to the Bible fact that your sin will find you out, will always find you out. I think if we were to talk to Samson during these times and said, don't you know you reap what you sow? Now listen to me. He'd say, well, I know that. I'm a judge. I know the Bible. But I'm different. That's what the devil tells Christians. You'll get by with it. It won't happen to you. Nobody will ever know. Turn to Proverbs, please. The 28th chapter. Have you ever noticed that the guy that falls into sin, or woman, ruins his life, brings heartache to his family, always thinks he can get by with it? Always. You ever wonder why lives of Christians are such a mess? Because the devil tells them, you can get by with it. And the Bible says you never get by with it. Never. They always think they can get away with it. Samson thought he was different. He knew about Adam and Eve's sin and what happened. Their life was destroyed. He knew about Cain's reaping. He knew that God had slain thousands because of their sin. But he's different. That's what the devil always tells us. You're different. You're going to get by with it. The Bible teaches throughout its pages what's taught in Proverbs 28:13. This is a wonderful verse and a sad verse. There's a sore evil which I've seen under the sun. I ask you to turn to it, and I turn to the wrong page. Proverbs 28:13. He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. Two groups, okay? If you cover your sin, you hide your sin, you will not prosper. But whoso confesseth and forsaketh his sin shall have mercy. You cannot keep sinning and prosper. Again, like Samson, you could think you're getting by with it. Your parents don't know about it. Nobody knows about it. I'm getting by with it. No, you'll never get by with it. You can't keep on sinning and prosper. If you don't learn from your sin, it will destroy you. I have some illustrations here, true illustrations. There was a teenage boy in West Virginia who lost his mind, lost his senses, you might say, because of sunstroke. The other boys were very good to him, took him with them as they went swimming or hunting or fishing or things like this. One day they were crossing one of those state highways, and a car came speeding down on them. And the other boys screamed and ran and screamed to him, run, get off the road. But he was frozen in horror. He couldn't move. And the car came down, put on its brakes, and just squealed and stopped just inches from him. The driver cursed and swore and just went around him. One of his friends caught him and said, you got to get off the road. The car, it'll kill you. But the boy started thinking in his dull mind, they had to run, but I didn't have to run. The car would kill them, but not me. He started believing that the car was afraid of him. So he waited for cars. Again, this is out in the country. He'd hide behind the bushes. Car came, and he jumped out with a stupid grin. Car wasn't going too fast, honked, went around him. He did this several times. Boy, I'm different. The car will kill other people, but not me. Made a game out of it. His father spanked him. His mother cried. He'd laugh. You run. Cars will get you, but not me. Every chance he got, he'd go down there and jump out in front of cars. And every time, he was fortunate, and the cars didn't hit him. Then he heard a train whistle. Oh, he thought, if it's so much fun stopping a car, how much fun would it be to stop a train? So he hid it behind the bushes. Train came around the corner, going fast, pulling coal cars, two engines. And he jumped out in front of the train with his silly grin. The engineer's blowing and yelling and screaming. On impact, the train just threw him ahead and ran over him. Picked up pieces for a mile afterward. What a picture of people playing with sin. Oh, I can get by. I got by. I can get by. I'm different. My family's different. He that covereth his sins shall not prosper. But whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. Samson thought, I'm different. Sin won't destroy me. I've never lost a battle. Because he was blind to the consequences of sin, he was soon bound and grinding. If the devil can make you believe that it doesn't really matter about your particular sin, you're okay. Now, I know that Baptist preacher preaches on it, and I know some people believe it, but I'm getting by with it. It will destroy you. It'll destroy you. As you can see, I'm an old man. I've been around a long time. And I've seen this happen, and I've seen this as a fact. I pastored for over 40 years. I've been saved for 75 years. You might get tired of it, but you learn through those times. You do not get by with sin. Whatever it is, you take pornography. I'm told that pornography is just a curse. It's just rampant, even among Christians. Let me tell you something. It will destroy your marriage. It'll destroy you. You will never get by with it. Well, you're stealing a little money. I'm getting, no, you won't. I don't care what it is. I don't care what it is. God's speaking to you right now. It's in your head. You will never get by with it. You never will. There was a Christian man walking down what's called Skid Row in Chicago. I'm from Chicago. I've worked with the missions there many times, even as a teenager. And it's a place of bars and dives and houses of prostitution. And he came across a man who was either unconscious or asleep, laying in the gutter. He had the typical subtle of a beard, and his mouth was open, the stained teeth were broken, and vomit was, I don't want to get too sick thing, but running down his shirt, and his pants were filthy and smelly to make you sick. The man stood there wondering, should I get a paddy wagon or should I get an ambulance? And as he was standing there, where two men came running across the road and actually jumped over this drunk going to the door of a tavern. And this Christian man, when he saw it, he couldn't help. He yelled, don't go in there. You're going to end up like this guy. And they laughed at him, of course. Don't you think I have willpower? Let me stop and say, don't you think that drunk that was sitting there, sickening, don't you think he thought he had willpower? Nobody chooses that life. And yet, I've worked as a teenager, with the missions down there. And I don't know how many people have come up to me, and I think they were true. I was a doctor. I was a kid just like you at one time. Now they're living a worthless, drunken life. Oh, I can handle it. Instead of being grateful, the young guys turned to the Christian man and said, "Who do you think you're talking to? Do you think we don't have any sense? Do you think we don't know when to stop?" That guy didn't know when to stop. I don't know how many times I've heard people say that. He didn't know when to stop. I know when to stop. About that time, paddy wagon came and picked the guy up off the street, and these guys went in the bar. Now, this happened, it's a true story. It happened several years ago. Where do you think those two young guys are today? Bankers? Stockbrokers? No. Drunks. Be sure your sin will find you out. Again, I say, I'm old. You can tell I'm old. I've pastored literally thousands of people. And I'll tell you something, that this is true. Be sure your sin will find you out. Especially young people. The devil loves to get young people when they're young. Oh, I'm okay. I know. You don't know anything. Be sure your sin will find you out. If the devil can blind you to your sin, he'll bind you. Just no doubt about it. He'll blind you. He that covereth his sin shall not prosper. Some do wrong, lie, cover, and they think they're getting by with it, especially young people. It'll grind you. Okay? We didn't go into this, but that's where Samson ended up, grinding. It'll grind you. It'll ruin your testimony. It'll ruin your job. It'll ruin your family. If you just understand, do you not love your wife or love your husband? Sin will ruin your family, everything that you think is good. The devil says it's okay. You can get by with it, but never. Sin will blind you. Sin will bind you. Sin will grind you. Again, people get bitter. It's not sin. Everybody's picking on me. No. Another story, true story. Someone was stealing mail, and organizations that were, now this years ago used to send money through the mail. And organizations reported that mail containing money wasn't reaching them. And so the federal postal inspectors got involved and started sending fake mail to these organizations to see where the breakdown was. They narrowed the investigation down to one certain post office. In most post offices, at least at that time, I don't know if it's true still, but there's a room that you only can get in from the outside. And you get in from the outside, they can inspect and see every postal worker on the inside. And the federal postal worker said, "I guarantee you that now that we know which post office it is, we will catch him." And somebody said, "No, what if he quits?" And the inspector said, "They never quit. They never quit." Again, they're hooked. Hooked on money. Sure enough, as they watched, there was a guy sorting mail, and when he felt letters that seemed like they might have money in it, he'd put them aside, and then he'd turn around and just quickly slip them in his shirt. After a while, he'd go to his bathroom break and flush the evidence down the toilet. What hit me is the investigators when they said, "He won't quit. He won't quit. They never quit." If the devil can get you to the place where you believe your little sin is something you can get by with, you're bound and you will grind. The devil will destroy you, destroy your marriage, destroy your family, destroy you. Young people think, preachers are just against me. They're picking on me all the time. They think I'm so bad, a sex fiend or a criminal. No, preachers just know the results of sin. We've been around a while, okay? Been around a long time, and we've seen it. There's a pattern that never fails. That's a sad thing. The saddest thing, again, I pastored, I guess, for about 50 years total. And the saddest thing about being a pastor is you know what's going to happen. You might warn the people, oh, no, no, I'm not doing this. No, no, you're wrong. You know what's going to happen. And you might think, well, you're glad when it happens. No, it breaks your heart. It breaks your heart. A wasted life. Shattered dreams. One last illustration. I don't know if you ever heard of Bill Rice. He founded Bill Rice Ranch. I think a great man of God. But he used to tell a story about Mac. A young man, he said, of great charm and personality, great athlete. And when they graduated from high school, they were best friends, and so they went to Decatur Baptist College together as roommates. He was rich. His parents had money, and he thought too much about social life and the girls and this type of thing. Bill Rice worked in the dorm cleaning and washing and ironing shirts and worked in a grocery store. Bill Rice wore patched pants and old shirts, and Mac had nothing but the latest styles. And one night, Mac came back to the room drunk. I had a roommate, not a roommate, but my best friend in high school was identical. My best friend in high school was president of the class, wrote an article for the Chicago Tribune, and the biggest problem that young people have is following the wrong crowd. We went to Iowa State University together, and he became a drunk. I mean a drunk. Destroyed his health, destroyed his life. One night, Mac came back drunk, vomited all over the room. The next day, he was all embarrassed. He said, I've learned my lesson. He cried, I'll never drink again. But he ran with the wrong crowd. And he became a drunk. After a while, he came and said, I committed immorality. Now this is a guy surrendered to preach, going to a Baptist college. Committed immorality, cried. I'll never do it again. Soon he was trying to fix Bill Rice up, his roommate. Pretty girl wants to date you. They argued. He said, you were going to be a preacher. You said you're never going to smoke and never going to drink, and look at you. Mac's response was, you make me ashamed. Look at your clothes. Look at your friends. You're just a goody-goody. The rest of the campus started laughing at him. Bill Rice quit that college and eventually graduated from Moody Bible Institute. In a few short years, he was married. He had one child. And J. Frank Norris, pastor of the largest Baptist church in the world, invited him to preach at a conference. He was going to preach at the 11 a.m. service, and Bill Rice always got places real early. He got there at 8 o'clock, dropped off his wife, and like this church, there was no parking, and he parked down the road. And as he walked back, he heard his name, Bill. Looked around, saw nobody but a bum leaning against a post. Kept on walking, I heard Bill Rice, in this dirty, filthy, smelly Mac, walked up to him. Rice put his arms around him and asked him what happened. And Mac told him about his marriage, social diseases, and divorce, and his job fired over and over. Now he was begging for some money for some booze. Bill Rice again fixed his shoes, put him in a YMCA. Mac wouldn't come and hear him preach, never saw him again. I'm through, but listen. When Dr. Rice, he wasn't doctor then, walked into the auditorium, there were 3,000 people waiting to hear him preach. And he looked at his wife and his baby and thought, at one time I envied Mac. He was getting by with sins, so-called. He was the most popular. He was voted the most popular person in college. And I was poor and the blunt of jokes. Mac was living in sin and seemingly getting by with it. But no, you never get by with it. You never get by with it. Dr. Rice used to tell about sitting on the platform, thanking God for a father that taught him, you never get by with sin. And was a strong father, didn't worry about hurting feelings. Yes was yes, and wrong was wrong. Even though sin will look attractive, you think you can buy with it, you never will. You never will. Never. God is good. God forgives our sin. If we come to Him, He forgives our sins. He'll put His arms around us and love us. But you never get by with sin. You continue, you'll destroy your life. Again, this is a wonderful verse. Starts out, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper. But ends with, but whosoever confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. Let's bow our heads, close our eyes. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, think, pray, ask God. How many here would say, Brother Voglin, as you preached, God dealt with my heart. Will you please pray for me? Nothing to be ashamed of. Put your hands up. I'd like to pray for you. Would you pray for me? Thank you. Many, many hands. I'm going to pray, but I want to say something. Coming forward in an invitation and kneeling does absolutely nothing if you don't make a decision. Nothing. When you move and God deals with your heart, do something. Promise Him. Make a decision. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, please bless this invitation. Thank you for speaking to hearts. Thank you for all the hands that raised asking for prayer. Now, I just pray that good decisions would be made. In your name we pray. Amen. Please.